Chemist Warehouse. Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, well done. Fun show, but gee, there's a little controversy there towards the end, Marto, with
bringing back Rumour File.
Rumour File, yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, the rumour's been around, as far as I know, for quite some time about Palaszczuk and everything else, and a lot of people are saying, what about the other rumour? I don't know what they're talking about.
No.
I have no idea. So check out the podcast if you want to hear about the rumour.
Rumour is coming up in just a moment. The other thing that happened in the show...
We're changing the world in so many ways, aren't we?
We are absolutely changing the world one step at a time, Marto. We are combining our two loves for food and cars. Just bringing it together, the community of Brisbane.
All you need is a brewery in the boot and we can So we're talking about, if you haven't heard about it, listen to the podcast, but all you have to do is wrap food in alfoil, stick it
Matt
in the
Preston's
engine.
Matt Preston's on board.
Yep.
He thinks it's a great idea.
Well, that's what gave us the notion to keep going with it, is if Matt Preston gives it the tick, it's on.
You know who else gave it the tick? Chaos, because they're on board too, Marto. They think it's a great idea and they've given us $1,000 to play with.
No, they gave us $1,000. I didn't tell them what I was going to do
with
it.
What it was for.
Anyway.
Yep. Cooking in your car, you'll hear all about it. Welcome to the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. This is Triple M.
Marto, you know we are car lovers here at Triple M.
Yep.
And there was some terribly sad and tragic news on the news last night.
Recovered at Kingswood, out of control, driverless and on a destructive collision course. The classic car rolling down a Mudrabar street through a fence and into a home, leaving its owner bemoaning, not the Kingswood.
Oh,
their head turners,
no.
The Kingswood. We own four of them. I wrote one off of one. Dad had one brown one. I ran into a parked car.
This one
off.
Was brown. It looked original. It looked like it had the original owner. It was in mint
they
condition.
They were ahead of their time at the time. I'm sure they're not now.
This is the actuality of the crash.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. Holy.
How do we get that audio? Was a guy filming?
They had CCTV. CCTV on the house, obviously, with audio.
Hold on. Let me guess. I can remember Dad's. Did the handbrake fail and it rolled down a hill?
Yeah, the handbrake did fail.
Shit, the handbrake did fail,
Marto.
Yeah.
Someone's mentioned that perhaps it had a Toyota handbrake in it and maybe they weren't so good.
Toyota handbrakes are wicked, hopeless.
Yeah, but how do you react if a car comes crashing into your front fence? Is it like this?
Woke up to something crashing into our house. It sounded like the entire house shook.
She was relatively calm, wasn't she?
Yeah,
She had said that there was a mess now out the front and out the back because they're in the midst of renovating. Could you imagine if they just rendered and painted the front fence?
Did it make it through the wall or did it hit the wall and bounce off?
Well, the front fence was like
a white
picket fence, so it was timber.
It crashed
straight through that into the brick, the low-set brick house.
And that stopped it?
Yeah, it stopped it.
Because they're bloody heavy. They were made of proper steel, Kingswoods.
Yeah, and you did ask what happened because it was driverless, Marto.
It's believed the handbrake failed. The Holden Classic stopped by this wall. Luckily, no one was injured.
No one was injured, just the wall and I think a bruised ego, perhaps, of the owner of the Kingswood. Mm. And it would be remiss of us if we didn't acknowledge it with this.
You're not taking the Kingswood anywhere. Take a bus. Take a train.
Teddy Bullpen.
I've never watched Kingswood Country before.
You've got to watch it.
It's going to be a great
show. Is it
show?
The castle before the castle was the castle?
Oh, it was the wrong castle, I think you'd call it. What a day it's going to be. If you've got Ted Bullpen on your show before six, it's going to be a ripper.
Oh, Triple M.
The Big Breakfast's Rumour File.
God, I remember when we used to do this every day and then I remember how much trouble it got us into and then there were people going to sue us and we don't.
This is a new concept to me, Marto, because Rumour File hasn't been around since I've joined you on the show.
Even before my time, Rumour File used to tune into Triple M every day. Often they wouldn't say the name, etc. But I've thought about this and I was at a wedding the other night and heard this story and people said, oh, haven't you heard this one before about Anastasia Palaszczuk? I went, no, where do I live, under a rock or something? Are you ready? Our premier, this is a rumour only, so I can't...
It's a rumour file.
It's a rumour file, exactly. I can't verify that this is true or anything, but And there was a nodding of the head when this person at this wedding the other night was telling me there was a nodding head with, I'm thinking I'm the only person that hasn't heard this rumour around town. Okay. Anastasia Palaszczuk is apparently going to finish up as Premier and hand the premiership, the head of Queensland, to Stephen Miles, otherwise known by me as the robot.
Right.
And I went, what? What is this all about?
Why? What's happened?
Well, she is going to take on the role of CEO, the boss of the Brisbane Olympics. And then I went, that makes sense because that's a job that can go on for 11 years or maybe longer or whatever. Ooh. So she's got long-term tenure.
Longevity.
Takes her parliamentary pension or superannuation, whatever, and she gets paid that. And her job, because otherwise she's got to go to the next election and go to the voters and they'll go, oh, I don't know, you did a good, bad job or whatever. She takes that out of the equation and has a job for the next dozen years.
What did she just recently appoint herself as?
Oh, the Queen of Queensland or something, I don't know.
No, for the Olympics, isn't she like the head
of something or other? But that doesn't pay them. This will be a paid position and then she'll always be in our consciousness and that's the rumour.
So she's stepping down as Premier to become the CEO of the Olympic Committee.
Heard it here first. If it comes through.
Big Breakfast's Rumour Fire.
Thank you, Marto.
I thought you were going to address another rumour.
No. Like what?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
We've got a little boat. I don't even know what you would call it. What is it? Maybe 12 foot?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not good with feet, but it's a little
4.5 metre speedboat,
fiberglass. It's like 1970 something.
It's quite cute, your boat. Corey did a bit of work on it.
Yeah, Corey did a bit of work on it. My dad gave it to us, actually.
That's right.
He bought it off a friend and he said, you always buy a boat from someone that you know because you know that it's been looked after and all of those sorts of things. So anyway, so his friend was moving. He had the boat for sale. So dad thought it'd be a great idea to get it. And when we come down to the Broadwater and visit because they live on the Gold Coast, it'd be good to take the kids out in and putt around in. And somehow we managed to pinch it and claim it and it now sits very proudly in our shed. Mm. And Corey's done a little bit of electrical work to it and put some marine carpet
and
in it.
Repainted it. I like it.
But the one thing that we didn't change was the name of the boat because we have had some bad luck previously wherein we bought another boat a few years back and we maybe used it 3 or 4 times and we had nothing but absolute trouble with it.
Things
broke on it. We went out on it one night and we literally dragged the whole night. I was up Googling how far do you drop the anchor down. It says you've got to drop it, you know, 3 times further than you need to so that it can pull and drag and all of those sorts of things.
Then you've got to watch the swing.
The light broke on it another time and then the depth gauge broke on it another time. Then there was another time when I was like 9 months pregnant. And I was at 1 o'clock in the morning because it was dragging. I was pushing off a muscle staying in Bums Bay at the spit there because there was this big, beautiful boat and we kept moving. And I was pushing off this boat whilst heavily pregnant not to hit it because, you know, that's never going to end well. And then you lay in it because it had a little half cabin in the front, tink, 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 back and forth, side to side, the water, the noise of the boat. It made me nauseous. I had to keep looking out this little porthole to make sure that we hadn't moved. It just was a nightmare. And I feel like the nightmare
never heard about this boat
came
before.
Because we changed the name of the boat. I can't even remember what the name of it was, but I'd heard that it was bad luck. And me not being a boating type person went, surely that's not a thing. Let's change it.
Historically, I've just looked it up. Historically, it's been considered bad luck to change the name of a boat. I've heard about this.
And so we did this for our first boat we bought and we sold it very quickly because it gave us nothing but trouble.
Hold on, listen to this. However, if you absolutely must change the name of a boat, a purging and renaming ceremony must be completed before the name is revealed.
This
tell me
is
you
what
did
someone
that.
Someone said to me and I was like, if only I had have known.
Remember Clive Palmer, that big bloody blue boat he's got at the moment? He changed it to his mother's name from whatever it was. He said, I want to name it after your mother, Mary Jean. I've seen it going around. It hasn't sunk yet, but it's a matter of time.
Well, I hope he did whatever that ceremony is that you just said because he's going to have nothing but trouble with it. It's bad luck. And so that's why we've kept the name of our little boat. It's called Bobbin. It's not a great name.
That's okay.
Just bobbing around in the ocean there. 133353. I want to know, all you blokes out there are boaties, are boat owners.
What do you want to
have you ever had the situation where you've changed the name of the boat and it's brought nothing but bad luck? Or is this something that you've heard of? Has this happened to somebody? And should I have done a naming ceremony? What is it, a re... What did you call it?
A purging.
Purging.
And the renaming ceremony.
Is this even a thing? Do you know you own it? You've had boats?
I've only ever had jet skis.
Only jet skis?
Yeah, jet skis. But the thing is, you know when they launch a new boat and they smash the bottle of champagne against it and when they name it, have you seen that?
Maybe I did that wrong too. Well, I didn't want to waste a good bottle of champagne.
No, of course not. You've knocked a few over though in your time. The reason we brought this up because that beautiful old cruise liner, the
Ruby Princess, set sail from San Francisco to Mexico, while our $5 billion industry remains anchored.
If there's one boat that should change its name.
Exactly.
It's the Ruby Princess.
Sailing from San Francisco to Mexico, if you're keen to get on board.
We kept the name of our current boat because we'd had such bad luck with the first one, and I'd heard that it was a bit of a thing, but I didn't know it was actually like a real thing. Like, you're just mentioning purging and renaming.
Yeah, you're supposed to have a renaming ceremony. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe somebody smashed the bottle of champagne instead of drinking it. Listen to this. Ian from Strathpine on the burner phone. When I was young, Dad bought a boat which was this horrible burnt orange
That's
colour.
What ours was.
It was burnt orange
and cream.
He named it Agent Orange, which certainly turned some heads at the local boat brand.
Yes, it would have.
Stuart from Vicky Point. Hello.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. Boat name changing. Is this a thing? Have you heard of the bad luck that comes with it?
It is. There's a lot of different things associated with boating and bad luck and whatever. But a mate of mine bought a boat, did the same thing, changed the name. We weren't aware of it at the time. And like you, every time he went out, it broke down or something broke or something went wrong. The other thing that is a big no-no too is if you're going to go out fishing, you can't take bananas on the boat.
Now, I mentioned this to them during the song. I said, bananas.
What is this?
I've heard the story once. Is it because snakes and spiders get in with crates of bananas and then used to bite everyone on board the boat? Have you heard that bit?
What?
No. What it's from what I've heard, it's from the early 1700s and the explorers and whatever. They would call into all these Pacific islands and different things and pick up big hands of bananas, put them down in the hull of the ship. They would go off and send all the rest of the food off that they'd been carrying with them.
Well, that's what they say, Stuart. If you've got bananas in your fruit bowl, it like pre-ripens all of your other fruit. So if you want to ripen up some avocados, put it in with, rottens everything. So always keep your bananas separate.
I've been on people's boats and they said, have you got any banana? They'll ask you. Have you got any bananas
on you?
Oh, yeah. It's a thing. Mm. All right. Someone else might be able to ring 133353 and tell us.
Yeah, Glenn from Petrie. Hello.
Good morning, Margot. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really well, Glenn.
Have you changed the name of a boat, Glenn?
Yes, mate. Yes, I changed it from Agronaut to Piss and Petrol.
Okay.
And was it a good thing or a bad thing, Glenn?
No, I had a bit of bad luck, but I called it Piss and Petrol because that's all we spent our money on was petrol and alcohol. So we just...
What sort of boat was it, Glennie?
An old ski boat, V8 ski boat.
There wasn't any skiing done, was there?
Oh, mate, early in the day there was. Yeah. We could stay up then, but we got a bit wobbly later on.
Glenn, we need a home for some Brick Lane draft from Dan Murphy's. You up for it?
Yeah, why not, mate?
You got any petrol?
Free Fuel Friday. My dad did warn me, though, when we looked to purchase the first boat. He said, the only good boat is somebody else's. Find a friend with
a
boat.
Exactly. Rich people need friends.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I want to talk about how Queensland reopened yesterday. Huge news, this one, don't you reckon? The border pass system went live at 5 p.m. yesterday. Health Minister Yvette Dath said eligible people were able to start booking their flights to Queensland immediately.
Yeah, stuck Queenslanders down in the land of the south can come home finally, Marto.
Yeah, she said we look forward to welcoming so many Queenslanders back to Queensland from this week. I thought that's why we got double vaccinated. What, mine's 5 months ago. I don't seem to have had any benefits from it. All these other Queenslanders are double vaxxed and, you can come back. Oh, really? Thank you. Thank you, your liege. Now, listen, there's a fair bit to this, though. You can't just come on. If you're a Queenslander, you'd think, I live at that address. Is that right? Well, you can come home. Ooh, there's plenty
strict
to
rules.
It goes for about 18 minutes, but I'm going to try to get you through it as quickly as possible.
If you want to come into Queensland, you can apply for a boarder pass online. To do that, you need proof you have been double vaxxed for at least 14 days and have evidence of a negative COVID test within 72 hours of your flight. You must arrive by air into any Queensland airport. Yeah. Your quarantine residence must be no more than 2 hours from that airport. Yeah. You can stay in a townhouse, apartment or a freestanding home, so long as you have the fresh air access to the front door, meaning you don't need to use any communal areas like stairs, lifts or a lobby. You cannot catch a taxi, Uber or public transport to get home. Yeah. You can have someone drop your car at the airport, so long as you don't have any physical contact with that person, and if you do get a lift from someone, they must quarantine with you.
Wow.
Jesus, I don't know whether I do want to go back to Queensland now. Think about it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, the conspiracy theorists would have you believe that Big Brother is watching us and that Big Pharma are tracking us through our vaccines and 5G. But turns out they actually are tracking us.
Secret surveillance designed to catch criminals.
Everybody has a face that we can see. We've been able to provide the names of offenders to investigators, which has resulted in convictions.
That's the lead facial image examiner from the Australian Federal Police. They're using face detection.
What cameras are they using? Every camera.
Street cameras, all the cameras that are in and around.
All of them?
Our city is...
There's cameras everywhere,
Marto, and they're constantly watching us. And through facial recognition, which we would be familiar with on our phones, if you want to find a photo of Marto on my phone, you just Google Marto, and it has all of the photos of you and I together collated in an album. We use it on Instagram and Facebook to tag people in our photos. It makes suggestions on your behalf, and
I thought it was only China that did these things.
Well, I think China are big on data collection, but we're using it here for reasons in catching criminals, and the AFP are using it to identify people.
So everywhere we go in the city where there's a camera, are they latching onto that and analysing us?
I'm led to believe so. I'm not 100% sure around all of the details, but there's always two sides to every story, and there is another one to this one too.
But facial recognition comes with controversy. Human rights advocates questioning its ethics around privacy.
It's just considered a very toxic technology. The hazards are just too great.
And I'm no expert in when it comes to tech. I know how to post to my social media. So I thought we would get our tech expert on this guy. Trevor Long from Everything for the Man, EFTM.com. Good morning.
Morning.
Facial recognition technology. Talk to me about it. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What are they using it for?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, you think about it, right? If you're in public, then the police are looking for you. Then people who you walk past are able to give information to the police and say, oh, we saw that guy. And it might help them find you. And it's probably going to take some time because you needed to find them and tell them and all this stuff. All this does is speed it up. It just speeds up the process of finding bad people. A lot of privacy advocates and that kind of thing hate the term I'm about to use. But you know what? If you ain't done nothing wrong, there's nothing to be worried about. So they're not databasing your every movement. They're just looking for people who've done wrong. And it's possible that they're using a lot of the cameras out there. Unlikely they're using all of them, but a lot of them. They are using them.
So they're not using all of them, but they're using enough. Now, are they selling that data to all these harvesting companies? Like, so they can, I'm walking down the street and I haven't done anything wrong, but they've sold me because I've stopped at this shop or I've done that. Are they selling that data to anyone?
I think that's the one thing we can safely say is not happening.
Good.
Especially if they're government-run cameras, because, you know, the governments, Australian governments, are bordered by some of the best privacy laws in the world. We have great restrictions on what can and can't be done, used, sold, warrants that are required, and all that kind of stuff. Private companies, you know, while they are subject to the same laws, you know, do you trust them with regards to hacking and security and stuff? There's a much bigger risk there. So we're actually in a good place in Australia that, you know, we have those protections. So, again, there's a level of safety we should have from that.
Yeah, Trevor, obviously the gentleman called it out as toxic technology. Should we be concerned? Does this not then open us up to a whole other field of data collation?
I mean, yes, you've got to be aware. So I'll give you an example in the non-law enforcement world of facial recognition. Shopping centres, you walk into a shopping centre and there's a lot of billboards, digital billboards often. If they're not doing it now, they will do it in the near future. They will show a different ad to you and me because I'm male, you're female. They'll show a different ad to me And Marlo, because we're different demographics, they will show different ads to different people because they can look at you and they may not know who you are, but they can certainly profile you based on what you look like. So that level of facial recognition may freak the heck out of a lot of people. And I think, to be honest, that's where we need signs that say, you know, we've got signs everywhere that say there's cameras in use. We probably need a new level of sign that says we're analysing your face or something like that so that we know for private companies using that technology, we should probably be made aware of it.
What about China? I remember even before COVID, so that's more than 2 years ago, they were using this facial recognition for everything. They were tracking their whole population at all times to make sure they could regulate them. Have you heard about that style of things, and could we ever go down that track, or our government's a little bit too more attuned to the privacy?
And our governments are restricted by the privacy laws we have in that they won't really get to the Chinese level. And don't get me wrong, China's at the top end of this. They have the technology and they have the ability to just do whatever the heck they want. But if you think you're walking around China unseen, it's not happening. They know where you are and what you're doing. So, yeah, we don't want to get to that point for sure. But I don't think anyone here wouldn't want the federal police of all people, because they're looking at the worst of crimes, to be able to tap into any camera possible and see whether the person they're looking for was there.
So stay away from cameras if you're sus. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, don't wear a balaclava. That's even more sus. Yes,
we'll just hope there's no mistaken identity cases where you perhaps maybe look like somebody else.
It's not me.
Trevor Long, thank you so very much. Everything for the man, EFTM.com.
Pleasure.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays when you wake up on 104.5 Brisbane's Triple M.
Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, Margo. Oh. The secret Santa lists are going out and everyone's going, what'll I buy Auntie Sonia? Get her a book. Why wouldn't you? Has anyone written one lately?
Yeah, they certainly have. Matt Preston, World of Flavour book. Good morning.
Good morning, Margo. Good morning, Margo. So, yes, look, it's a bit busy out there for books. You got to do something. During lockdown, everyone got scribbling. But you got to do something to stand out from the crowd if you want people to buy your book. You got to offer more than just really, really tasty recipes, I think.
Is there something about alternative cooking methods? Because Margo and I were having a chat last week and I was telling her about cooking on the engine of your car while you're having a drive exhaust manifold. Yeah. Can I just give you two of our callers alternative cooking methods?
Please.
By the time you get to Warwick, the old Bicky tin on top of the intake manifold.
Thank you.
And we would have scones.
Fish in a dishwasher. Double wrap it in alfoil, put all your sauce in there. Yep, one cycle through the dishwasher, happy days.
I mean, throw out your steam ovens. If you were ever going to steam anything, who never thought of the dishwasher, Matt Preston?
Well, look, the dishwasher, I have actually cooked salmon on the engine block of a car.
So you
It wasn't as good as cooking it in the oven.
No.
But that idea, I think the scones in a biscuit tin on the manifold, that kind of taking camp oven cookery and churning that heat sauce is very waste sensitive. I mean, there is actually a great example of that in the book. So you know those little Greek phyllo pastries called spanakopita?
Yeah.
They get them in big trays or individual. You know, they're delicious. Yeah. They're a bit of a plava to make. I've worked out a way we can make spanakopitas in your jaffle maker or your toasty maker. Instead of making a toasted cheese sandwich, you can make spanakopita. It takes about 3 to 5 minutes, and they have all the joy of one of the trickier kind of hand-rolled ones.
When ScoMo gets up and says, we don't even know, we haven't even got the technology that's going to get us to net zero yet, I don't think he's heard of some of these methods. Go for a drive, do the cooking, same thing. And it all started, mate, with somebody saying the way to heat pizza up is to turn your toaster on the side and slide it in.
On the side? Yes. It does kill your toaster, though. That is the problem. If it doesn't kill your toaster, it'll kill your electric. So that's another problem.
I mean, if our Triple M listeners have just tuned in, Matt Preston, they'd be like, why the bloody hell are we listening to Matt Preston? And why are we talking about food on Triple M? Because it seems that not only are you a very successful author and obviously more famously known for your stint on MasterChef, you were actually in a punk band. Is that right, Matt?
I was, I was in a punk rock band. I spent some time as a DJ. I promoted a lot of concerts back when I was working in the UK. So did shows by people like who would be a good example. Nirvana's first London show, with a wonderful guy called Dave McLean, Nina Simone's big comeback show. So, yeah, look, I'm, I, 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 look, to be brutal, music is my first love, as John Miles once famously said.
If I'm going to read the blurb, which you are, because your publicists go, here's some information about Matt Preston. We know you well anyway. But it says when Matt Preston's wife first met him, she thought he was gay. How did you come back from that?
Well, you know what? She met on my mum, Pommy mates, and she went, okay, that's just an English thing. Yeah. It's just the way they are.
It wasn't the cravat that gave it away.
You know, I think the cravat is a sign, not of that, but it's normally seen as a sign of being a bit of a bad boy.
Masculinity.
Famous cravat wearers, they tend to be people like, you know, Dracula or the bad guy invariably in one of those Wall Street comedies, the evil villain invariably wears a cravat. So,
Real men wear cravats, Matt Preston.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I feel like I'm real enough.
You sound like you're auditioning for a movie part. Matt Preston, we love your work and we love your book. Matt Preston's A World of Flavour. Get it for Auntie Sonia or your mum, anyone. It's all the book for Christmas.
Great, thanks a lot, Marto. Love you too, you mugger.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
We can talk about it all we like, and this is the second time in the 1 week that we've talked about cooking food in your car. Underneath the bonnet on the exhaust manifold, you can cook food. And we've heard from people. Sammy from Thornside, was that a name?
Yeah, she cooked the scones.
Driving in from Warwick. And we heard from other people who said, yeah, I've put a roast in there. There's all sorts of things.
Well, it all started because you said you heated up the pizza by turning the toaster on the side and slid it in, and it was like, how else have you cooked?
Alternative methods of cooking. And then we came to car engines, and we're going to combine. Actually, we've been busy during the song. You hear that?
Cooking in your car.
Sizzling a sanger. No, what was it? A snag. Anyway, cooking a steak. That's what we're looking to do, cooking in a car. And, Margo, we've got a few things cooked up.
Yeah, we certainly do, Marto. We're going to make a little bit of a competition out of this. And on Thursday, we are going to set the challenge for whoever rings 133353 and wants to be a part of it. You've got to cook something on your car, in your car, like the scones or the steamed fish or whatever it is, and we've got $1,000 up for grabs.
Now, listen, we only need, three, four, whatever, but I think we've got, Chaos have said, listen, here's $1,000 because they do a lot of cooking equipment, but they're happy to see us cook in the car.
Yeah, and we're not talking like air fryer plugged into your 12-volt, are we? We're talking about in your engine bay or on the dashboard, in the sun, heated up, I'm not sure.
Most people drive in, it takes them 35, 40 minutes to come into, if they're coming into the city, which is, we're going to have to ask you to do that. We're at the top of Caxton Street.
And you've got
to
bring it here.
Yeah, you got to bring it here. We're going to come downstairs at, 8:30, we'll work all that out, and have a taste.
Marto's
as well.
Marto's going to taste it.
There will be forms to fill in.
that's all right. We'll work that
out. We would have invited Sammy from Thornside to partake, perhaps, but we found out she drives a Prius.
She cooked the scones years ago when she had a proper carbon-emitting car. Actually, on that point, this could be the way we get to the Glasgow result to net zero emissions.
If we all
start cooking in the car, we're not wasting any, and that's what it's about, net zero, about combining your fuel's fuel sources to get things done.
So we're going to ask you, 133353, give us a ring if you want to partake in the challenge and get involved. But, Jamie, tell them what they're up for.
Well, we've got $1,000. We're going to split this up with the winner and some runners-up. You can check out Chaos's brand-new store, Robinson Road, Geebung. They've got four-wheel drive, camping, outdoors, adventure gear and more.
Amazing.
Perfect for Christmas if you want to go away for the holidays. So $1,000 to spend there. We'll be sharing that. But 133353, if you can spare a couple of hours on Thursday morning and drive in here cooking something in your car, call now.
And we are the judges, Marto. We are the Matt Prestons of
I'm going to make people eat the first mouthful. This is what dictators do. They have tasters, and then I'll have some after
that. Tested on the minions.
So 133353, if you want to get involved, it's we're going to give away $500, $250, $250.
$1,000 all up. Just spread chaos.
Too easy.
Shelley from Collingwood Park. You're going to be our first contestant in our cooking in your car. Hello, good morning, Shelley.
Hi, how you going?
Good. Are you
clear on what you're getting yourself into, Shelley?
Are you clear?
Yeah. Okay. I am. I'm up for the challenge.
Is this a familiar concept to you, Shelley? Have you cooked in your car before like this?
I was just saying, my husband did it, so I'm just going off what I saw. So he cooked scrambled eggs.
in the car with some bacon and spring onion and hot dogs.
Oh my goodness.
It's like a whole meal.
I've heard about that one. You cook your hot dogs and you can warm them up and then next thing you know you arrive and you're ready to go.
I need to see
That's
this.
Right.
I mean, I'm so glad that we're doing this because I need to see this like play out.
Are you making fun of Shelley and I?
I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just curious. Food, cooking in the car, curious.
Shelley.
Well, I'm hopeful that you like hot dogs.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
With scrambled eggs and bacon. Bloody oath.
All of the above. Right,
where are you coming from? Collingwood Park?
Yeah, Collingwood Park, yeah.
How long will it take you in from Collingwood Park? We don't mind if you drive around, if you want to take off.
Got to get it right.
How many hours do you need, do you think? How long?
I reckon maybe about half an hour.
Righto. Could you give it a go today, just to test drive? You know, do you think that's a good idea or just wing it?
No, just wing it on Thursday.
Because it's happening on Thursday.
No, I reckon we might have a test run, eh? Make sure it all goes smoothly. Okay.
I mean, there's $500. I mean, we've got $1,000 that we're going to split between three people, Shelley. $500, it could be the difference between winning and being a runner-up and just getting $250.
That's right, yeah. So I've got to do a test run.
Could be all in the practice makes perfect.
All right, Shelley.
Well, does everyone know where we're at? We've got to go to the traffic and the news.
But Thursday.
We've got to get another couple. We've only got one contestant at this stage. Keep ringing.
1-333-53. Register right now, Marto, Margo. Don't have breakfast on Thursday because this is going to be delish.
Cannot wait.
It's $1,000 all up. Thanks to Chaos, they've got the brand new store, Robinson Road in Geebung. They've got four-wheel drive, camping, outdoors and adventure gear plus much more. That's what you could win. For incredible. The big breakfast, great car cook-off.
There'll be problems, and we'll think of those as we go along. Because what happens if they cook it and just pretend they did it in there?
Well, I don't know the rules, Marto, but I'm okay with that.
Making it up as we go.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
We're talking yesterday. I just brought up, and I'm not sure. I think I saw him. I seen him on the screen while we're having our meeting after the show. We're having a quick chat. And I said, what did Elton John do? He accepted some title and then straight after him, Lord, I think he may have become a Lord or something. And then Lord Ian Botham.
We were talking about the cricket.
Oh, that's right. I said, can we get Ian Botham on the show? And I went, sorry, Sir Ian Botham. Then one of the boys outside
said,
he's Lord.
Lord Ian Botham.
All right. Well, you take the story on then because you went, I've got a Lord in my family. Big claim.
What I said was, I think I have a Lord or a Duke or an Earl
the
or something.
Logan Lord.
And I've gone, sorry? What
Not
are you talking
Logan
about?
Law.
At some stage, did you say that we're in the same branch of family as Diana, as in Princess Diana?
Yeah, well, my lineage, if that's what you call my heritage, my grandfather's side is English, and there are Spencers in my line of family, and that is the Diana, Kitty Spencer, Princess Diana line. Like, I mean, Diana wasn't a princess until she married Prince Charles, but there's an Earl or a Duke or a Lord or something somewhere. I've never really done my family tree back to that far.
Oh, sorry. How far back
are we? Somebody told me once upon a time that there was a Lord or a Duke or someone.
How far back are we? Like the Spencers of Tanamera. Sorry. The Spencers of Tanamera are hardly the Spencers who married into the royal family.
It was one of those things, you know, as a kid. Someone once said, like, I think it was my aunt or someone said, we've got a Duke in our family.
Of course. There's
and
always
so
one of those relics.
I then went to school and said, oh, hey, I'm related to the royal family. And everyone's like, you're an idiot.
Oh, God. Can we? Because there's always that one auntie who goes to la-di-da herself and goes, oh, you know, we're related.
1-3-5-3. Who are you related to? Have you got that one person in your family that you claim?
Oh, God.
Do they claim you, Marto? No, we
used to always
Maybe
say,
like, oh, no, he's not my son.
If anyone wronged us, we'd go, you know, Ray Martin's our uncle. We're going to ring him.
My dad's a
lawyer.
When
he was on A Current Affair, we used to go, he's going to go, you. Uncle Ray.
All right. It's nice and easy. Who are you related to?
Declan from Burpen. Gary, have you ever chased up your family? Who are you related
to? Famous
who are you related to?
Yeah, we're originally from New Zealand, and I knew that my mum's history is from the UK, and her great-great-uncle actually designed the Spirit of Ecstasy on the front of the Rolls-Royce.
What, the symbol on the front of the Rolls-Royce?
Yeah, so the actual...
With the wings.
Yeah, he designed that, and I found out how we got to New Zealand was he had royal blood, and he had a family with the maid, and he had to choose between his life in the UK or the maid family, and he chose the maid family, and that's how we got to New Zealand.
Good Lord.
That's incredible.
How do you know this is true?
The Sykes name in the UK is pretty synonymous. Yeah. And we had five generations of girls living at once in our family. My great-grandmother only died last year. She was 98.
So there was verbal history, yeah.
Yeah, we traced it all back, and my mum's got a family tree as well, so she still has a UK passport. So.
Do you drive a Rolls-Royce out there at Burpengary Decker?
No, we do have a strong history in racing speedway stuff, but I can't afford it.
He does have one of those glued on the front of his Commodore, though.
He's actually flogged it.
Hey, Declan, I'm going to throw you a double pass to the Australian PGA Championship. PGA and WPGA, they're on the 13th to the 16th of January at the Royal Queensland Golf Club. Tickets at championship.pga.org.au. Enjoy.
What about Paul from Logan's Texas? Texas on the phone.
What? Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah,
he said, my parents told me that I was an indirect relation to Tsar Nicholas II, the second of Russia. I used Ancestry.com to trace my lineage. Turns out I'm related to a maid that worked in the summer vacation palace of the Russian royal family. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
Oh, God, we're Aussies, all right?
Just an indirect relation.
Hey, we might have to bring this back in the morning. There's a lot of
or
people
John
claiming
John from Kenmore said Pink Floyd. Paul from Crestmead sent John Dawes, the ex-Brisbane Bullet he's related to.
Who cares
Lindsay
about John Lindsay
from
Noosa
is related to the Cadbury family. That's the relation I'd like to have.
Oh, Lindsay? Oh, God.
We have to come back. We can't get to all of them.
We'll take some more calls.
Hold on.
Daz
is related to the Kelly gang.
Call back tomorrow. 1-333-353.
Who are you in the morning?
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Hey, Marto, it's not long now until the Olympics will be on our doorstep, 2032. They're really starting to ramp up the talks about what we're going to be offering as a city here in Brisbane. There were suggestions maybe we could dye the Brisbane River, the brown snake, blue perhaps.
Can I just make one quick point? I was driving home along Kingsmith Drive the other day. It looked bluish. Have they already started something we don't know
sure.
about?
I'm not sure. I said I think maybe they were going to be cleaning and dredging and doing the estuaries that lead into the Brisbane River to try and help. But there's a lot of mud on the bottom of that Brisbane River.
Sounds good though, doesn't it?
I just suggested maybe some food colouring, that blue stuff. It's so hard to get out of your fingers once you get on it. Stains, maybe that might be good for it. But there is going to be plenty of infrastructure happening. We've got bridges happening, obviously. The casino will be built by then. Yep. They've got that
Roma
corridor
Street.
That's happening from Kangaroo Point over into the Gabba. There's going to be green bridges. There's going to be a massive precinct.
Yes.
And you mentioned green, Marto. There's going to be another green thing here in Brisbane.
Imagine taking a Sunday stroll along the river in Hamilton across the inner city bypass to South Bank and St Lucia, all under the cover of a leafy green canopy. Well, this is the latest bold vision for Brisbane ahead of the 2032 Olympic Games.
Just over there at Hamilton, near where you are, you'll be able to ride your bike through there amongst
the inner
the
city
green.
Bypass. But you can already go through Newstead and ride around the corner to the river. What are they talking about, Marta?
This is a new thing that's going to be happening. Oh. It's going to be beautiful. It's calling it the green canopy, and the locals, they like it.
Anything green is always good. And I think encouraging people to like get outdoors and have like walkways where you can be along the river is always lovely.
I mean, just looking out here at the window, you can see lots of beautiful green trees. We've got Musgrave Park over there.
Was she making a reference to drugs there, I think? Anything green, you could see her going home on a bucket bomb, couldn't you?
That's
girl.
Not the green we're talking
what
about.
Are they talking
but
about?
It's going to be a vast stretch of
just trees,
green canopy.
What?
The proposed 15-kilometre green lung would start in St Lucia, stretch through South Bank and around the CBD before finishing in Hamilton.
See, that Hamilton keeps coming up. Is that where they're putting the athletes' village? Is that what's the canopy?
I don't know. Well, I thought it was a canopy, but now it's the
green lung.
He said the green lung. What's a
green lung?
Green lung. That's not very appealing. What happened to the green canopy? Yeah. Leave it as the green canopy, not
green
this.
Green lung.
I think maybe the next 11 years they're going to have to try and come up with a new name because
green lung.
That's not very
appealing.
No,
not nice
nobody
at
wants
all.
To go along the green lung.
It's Triple M, the Big Breakfast.
Jesus.
Oh, the great Glasgow conflab, whatever you want to call it, the bid to save the earth is over. As of yesterday, all the big timers went home a couple of weeks ago. And the little, what would you call it, an ecological jamboree. Oh, listen, I want to do that. God, they were there for 2 weeks. I think Greta Thunberg swam home to Sweden yesterday, so she's all carbon neutral. Oh, God, what a load of nonsense the whole thing was.
Is it true that we rated pretty poorly in our efforts, Marto?
In our efforts?
Apparently Australia's, ranked last.
According to some, oh, Jesus, we ranked first some places, last others. It depends who you talk to, Margo.
Yeah.
It really depends. Do you talk to Boris Johnson? Because he says this.
Glasgow has sounded the death knell for coal power.
Or you speak to people on the ground who have got an election to win next year, like Matt Canavan.
It's a big green light for us to build more coal mines, supply the world more coal.
So he takes it. People read documents and go, that means this, that means that. What does it mean, Boris?
Marking the beginning of the end for coal power.
Okay, what do the Nationals here in Australia think?
There's never been stronger demand for our coal.
That's so true. It is true. Because otherwise, do you want to live with... And as there's only one Barnaby Joyce, isn't there? And as he put it yesterday, this is the bottom line.
If people want you to be poor, if that's the goal, you want to be poor, you don't like your standard of living, then stop exporting the stuff that makes you the dollars and you can be poor.
Everyone understand what's going on now?
Right across it.
Thanks, back to work.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, there has been a couple of houses sell just around us where we live in Cornubia, and I'm definitely considering putting our house on the market. It would be silly not to. Are we going to see these prices again? I live in the caravan. If you got a backyard, I can...
I haven't got a backyard.
I got some camping gear. I can camp in caravan until I find another place.
And just on that note, if anyone needs some camping gear that's only been used once, Margo has some with just a little bit of sand on it.
But brand new with tags.
Let's get back to what we're talking about, because I tell you what, because it's been going up and up and up and nothing can go up forever. And I see yesterday there's a survey, Australia's peak finance and mortgage broker. So people who deal with this stuff every day, they're the finance brokers Association of Australia, did a survey, and they are predicting looming disaster as soon as interest rates rise. And I thought, listen, we may as well go to the bloke who commissioned the survey. Well, he's the managing director of the FBAA, Peter White. Hello and welcome to the Big Breakfast.
Hey, Margo. Margo, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Now, you're saying in this article I'm reading, and I don't want to predict disaster, but it's time people stop sleepwalking into the future and going, oh, this will happen forever. Can you tell us what it showed?
Yeah, sure, Marto. I mean, look, the bottom line to this is we commissioned an independent group just to go out to the marketplace, not our members or our borrowers that we know, just to find out where the pain point was if interest rates rise, where does it start to fracture? And listen, I've been in this game 43 years. I know I don't look it, but I've been in here for a while. And I was surprised at how close it was when things start to get dark for people. And basically what it said, if your repayments go up by $300 a month, 57% of the borrowing population can't afford it. That means they're going to financial hardship. And that's roughly a 1% increase in home loan rates. It is. It's really scary. Like I said, I've been doing this a while, and... I was very surprised that it was this close, because the predictions are next year there's not going to be one, there's going to be multiple interest rate rises.
So does that apply to people with current home loans or who are looking to maybe sell and repurchase on their new home loans? Or is this across both?
Margo, it's principally looking at people who already have a mortgage and people who are paying rent. So if you go for a loan today, there's certain... criteria in the credit assessment that apply, which sort of says you should be okay. But those who've already got a mortgage, got that some time ago. And if interest rates rise now, we all live to our own economies. We spend what we earn, basically. Or we might have bought a car or done some renos, whatever it may be, since we first got our loan. But if it goes up by 300 a month, almost 60% of the people are saying we can't afford it.
Okay,
and that's really scary.
Pete, you'd also analyse this. The RBA have they still given a guarantee that they're not going to put the interest rates up until the end of next year, or that might change?
Well, Marto, that's the problem, right? Because RBA is saying they're going to hold things low as long as possible.
Yeah,
but there's a huge but. Well, there's a huge but to that. You've seen the banks are already lifting their fixed interest rates, right? That is a telltale sign they are planning on interest rates going up. That's why they do that. And they've got these really cheap variable rates, which is like a little bait to say, yeah, come here and play with me because my rates are cheap, on the expectation they're going to jack it up through the roof as it goes forward. Now, the reality at the end of the day is the banks have stepped out of line with any movement from the RBA or even the international markets where they get some of their funding.
But they can see inflation, correct, Peter? They can see international inflation's gone up, and everybody in our society knows how much everything's costing more, whether it's petrol, food, fruit, vegetables,
living
everything,
expenses,
meat. Everything's going up. That's inflation, but the Reserve Bank's not acknowledging it, but the banks are going, listen, we're ahead of the curve here. So it's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, look, that's right. The whole reality is it's going to happen. That's why we're talking about it now. Well, now because we just got the research, but also to the fact if you're going to do something about this, you need to do it now or very soon, because once this animal starts to roll, it's going to be really hard to catch it. So you're going to get left behind and potentially become a mortgage prisoner to your bank where you won't even be able to refinance because the interest rates are jumping quickly. We have a what they call a floor rate, which is like a margin on top of your current interest rate that they use for serviceability. So it's higher than what you're paying.
What do you call it, Peter, when your house is actually worth less than what you owe the bank? Is that negative equity? What do you call it?
Yeah, I call it screwed. But
negative equity.
Yeah, exactly right. Especially if you've poor first home buyers, you know, you borrow as much as you can to get in your first home.
Yeah.
With you're talking before about property prices that are going up. I've seen them up over 30% in some areas around southeast Queensland. You know, that will come down a bit. It won't go down to what it was, but it will sort of slightly pull back a bit from its peak. And when you get to that point, depending on when you borrow, you could be in this negative equity position whereby you owe more money than what your house is worth. And that's a real problem because a bank can call your mortgage up at any time.
Peter, amazing. People, it's a great warning because it is going to happen and people need to be careful. I'm not saying sell your house now, but everyone, keep reassessing what
you've
got.
Reduce your overheads for sure.
Exactly.
Thanks, Peter.
And Mark, best thing is speak to your mortgage broker because they're the ones that are under a legal duty to put your interest ahead of theirs. And they're the people to talk to because your banks can only tell you what they've got. And at the moment, that's where the problems are.
Thanks, Pete. Peter White, Finance Brokers Association of Australia's Managing Director.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.